Today, she is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Mem Dalad. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Be'ez, the third line. Tanur Rabbanan, Machalei Bayis, Machalei Sada. If somebody sold a house or a property to someone else, and now somebody comes to make a claim against that house or property, the loch is a made aleha. The seller may not say testimony on behalf, involving this house, on behalf of this buyer, because if the buyer will ultimately lose the house, he will go back to the seller to reimburse him for the house that he sold that wasn't his. And because of that, he is considered, as we've been discussing in our shurim, a negei b'davar. Has a vested interest in this situation, and therefore he can't say testimony. However, machlei para, machlei talis, but if somebody sells somebody a cow or a talis, then there's a claim against that cow, against that talis, not halacha be made allah, he will be allowed to say testimony, nei achriyusa alav. There's no recourse to him anyway, so he has nothing to lose. Explains the Gemara. Maishna Reisha, Maishna Sefer. What is the difference, as the Braisa discussed, between when property was sold or metaltalin was sold? The way the Braisa should have presented itself as the Gemara is not by differentiating between karka versus metaltalin, property versus movable items. Rather, the way the Braisa should have presented itself is, is it a situation of a chrayis, where the buyer has recourse back to the seller, then he's a negei b'davar, and therefore he can't say edus, or is it a situation where he didn't sell with a chrayis, and therefore there is no recourse back to him, and therefore he will not be held responsible? Answers the Gemara, and because of this, the Gemara comes up with somewhat of an elaborate situation. Amar of Sheshes, Reisha Beruven Shigazal Sodom Shimon. Reuven stole a property from Shimon, and then after he stole it from Shimon, Machal Levi, he sold that property to Levi. Vasa Yehuda, and now Yehuda comes, a different individual, Vekama Arur, and he claims that this property is his. So, says the Braisa, the Loilesa Shimon Lasa Levi. Shimon cannot be the aid to have Levi retain this property. The Nichle de Hadra, he is satisfied that the property should be left with Levi because Shimon is the owner of this property. And Shimon ultimately wants that this property should come back to him. So he believes that he will be able to bring Edim, that Reuven stole this property from him and then sold it to Levi. So that's why he's considered in the Negei Be'edus. So now the Braisa means to say as follows. Machle Bais Machle Sada, Reuven the Gazlan sold to Levi a house or field that he stole. And now Yehuda comes and says that this field belongs to me. A mayor Allah, Shimon, who was the person from whom the property was stolen, cannot say edus on behalf of Levi. Because the person, Shimon, wants to be able to go back to Levi and get back this property. So that's why when Yehuda comes to make a claim, Shimon, when he says it belongs to Levi, cannot be believed. But ask the Gemara, we don't understand. If Kivin the Asleh the Levi who, once he said testimony that it's Levi, what did the Gemara just say is Shimon's ultimate goal? Shimon's ultimate goal is to get back the property. So if Shimon's ultimate goal is to get back the property, so when he has now come to Besdin and testified that the property belongs to Levi, how does he expect to get back the property? Answers the Gemara. what he testified is not that the property belongs to Levi. All he testified was, Dama Yodana the High Shtara, the High Ara, I could say unequivocally, the High Ara, that this piece of property, the Lav the Yehudihi. All I'm saying is that it doesn't belong to Yehuda. And therefore, he never said testimony that it belongs to Levi. So now, when he's going to want to turn around and get it back from Levi, nobody will ever be able to say to him, how do you want to get it back from Levi? You said it belongs to Levi. So what will be his testimony? So Yadrama says, what he's going to say is that Yehuda's claim is invalid. Why is Yehuda's claim invalid? Because he brought Edom to back up his claim that this property belongs to him. And he's going to say, well, I could tell you that those Edom are Pasula Edis. And therefore, Yehuda's claim will fall apart. Vahu Zechusa, says the Gemara, what? Ultimately, what is Shimon's plan, as we've been saying? Shimon's plan is that he wants to get back the property because it's his. It was stolen by Reuven from him. So he's going to bring some sort of a raya. So whatever raya he's going to bring to get back the property to him, that because he is the true owner of the property, whatever he's going to use to get back the property for himself, that should be the way he should be able to get back the property, both from Yehuda or from Levi. And so what is the understanding that he wants to get it back into Levi's hands and then he'll take it out from Levi? He obviously has a reason, he has obviously a way to prove that it belongs to him, himself. If he has a way of proving that it belongs to he himself, that he should use when he works against, when he says, whether he's talking to Levi or he's talking to Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, a concept that we've learned earlier. I believe that I know that it's easier to have a din Torah with Levi than to have a din Torah with Yehuda. And therefore, because he believes that it's easier to have a din Torah that way, that's why he first wants to get it back into Levi's hands, make sure Levi has it, and then he'll proceed to get it back for himself. Actually, the Rashbam points out that the wording of the Gemara is somewhat imprecise, because what the Gemara should have said is Harishin. He should have said Harishin Noichli. Levi is somebody I'd rather to have it entire with, and Hasheni in Yehuda came second as Koshali. The Gemara used this wording because this is the typical way the Gemara uses the wording whenever we have this discussion. So the Rishonim debate, what's going to be the halacha? So the Gemara is saying that the reason Shimon is saying this testimony is because he's more comfortable with a din Torah against making that the property should be in Levi's hands and then proceed with a din Torah rather than with Yehuda. Because he says Levi is a nicer person than Yehuda. What would be the halacha if we know that actually that isn't the case? What's going to be the halacha when we know that Yehuda is the easier of these individuals? What will we say then? So it's actually machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that the entire basis is only because he can make that claim in a situation where such a claim cannot be made, then of course the whole premise of this Gemara will fall apart. There are other Rishonim that disagree, and they say that even in a case where it's known that Levi is a tougher individual than Yehuda, still, sometimes there are reversals. And the way the Tumim explains. The Tumim explains, Shimon, in this case, may know something about Levi that nobody else knows about Levi. And because he has this information about Levi, he is able to feel that when he'll go to the entire against Levi, he'll be able easier to prevail versus if it were a dentira against Shimon, where against Yehuda, where he doesn't have that type of information. Vibai Seima, another way to understand this Gemara, again, the question being, if Shimon feels that he's able to win in a dentira because he could prove that this property belongs to he himself, so that proof should be equivalent both when he's claiming against Yehuda or he's claiming against Levi. Kigoyin Islay Sadi Lamar, Shimon has Adim that this property belongs to he himself. Islay Sadi Lamar, and Yehuda has Adim that it belongs to he himself. Vamar Abonin, so when we have such a situation, which we've discussed previously in our Masechta, we're here at an impasse. Two Adim say belongs to Shimon, and two Adim say belongs to Yehuda. Since Beis Din is an impasse, we status quo it, and we say that whoever has it keeps it. And therefore, that the Shimon, so now what happens was that what Shimon wants is that he can't take it away from where it is currently. So Shimon is going to prefer that it should stay by Levi, that even if Yehuda will bring Edom, that the property belongs to him, because once Shimon gets the property out of Levi, if there'll be a dentira, Levi doesn't have Edom. So Shimon wants a dentira with Levi, because Shimon says, when I'll have a dentira against Levi, I will win, because I have Edom, and Levi doesn't. Then, when Yehuda will begin a dentira against Shimon, and even if Yehuda has Edom, it'll be a status quo, and that's how Shimon will be able to hold on to the property. But as the Gemara, we explained that the case here is a case where Reuven stole the property and sold it to Levi, and Reuven stole the property from Shimon, sold it to Levi, and now what is an entira, the Gemara is explaining that Shimon cannot be an aid in that entira, he's considered a nogeya be'edis. Ask the Gemara, for Lukma Begazlin, why don't we say that the Bryce is speaking in a case that it's in the hands of Reuven? Why does the Bryce have to bring another person? Ask the Gemara. Why did the Gemara have to bring another person into the story? Why don't we say that the person, so the Gazlin sold the property, Reuven sold the property, stole from Shimon and sold the property, and now the Reuven has the property, and Yehuda comes to say that Reuven, who has the property, doesn't own the property, that the person who it was stolen from cannot say testimony here, because in the Gei Ba'edis, answers the Gemara, and what we'll accomplish is that there's one less person that needs to be inserted into the story, answers the Gemara. But Shum the Kabbalah, Mr. Sefer, the Sefer of that Brisa teaches us, Machlei Parah, Machlei Talis, that if somebody sold a cow or a talis, and why did the Brisa say Machar? That only if after it was stolen, Reuven sold the stolen object to Levi, and now after he sells it to Reuven the Gazlin, sold the stolen object to Levi, and now when Yehuda comes and claims that the property, that this object belongs to him, that the halacha is under these circumstances, he can't say Edus. He can't say Edus on this property, because even if it's going to remain with Levi, Shimon has no recourse to Levi, because once the Gazlin sells it to Levi, so there was Yiyush, Reuven was Miyash, and the way the Rishonim explained that we heard Reuven being Miyash, and there's also Shini Rishus, It went from the from now it's not just by Reuven the Goslin, it's by Levi. So we have Yiyush and Shin Rishus. The halacha is that under those circumstances, it remains with Levi. Avaloi Machar, if Reuven had not have sold it yet to Levi, then if Shimon will be able to prove that was his, Shimon will be able to get back the property. The Hadrele, because there was only Yiyush and no Shin Rishus. And then, because then Shimon will certainly be considered a Negei B'Dover. So because in the Sefer of this Braisa, says the Gemara, there had to be that the property was that was stolen was sold in order that we should have the Yiyush and Shini Rishus that will keep it in the hands of Levi, and therefore Shimon could say Edus. So far, therefore, we had the Reisha was also explained in that way. So we explained the Gemara the way the Rashbam and the Yad Rama explained the Gemara, that we know for certain that Shimon was Miyash. The Pirush Rabbeinu Baruch, a different region, says we don't even have to have heard explicitly that he was Miyash. We could assume that Stam, that we could assume that the Stam Zela, the person from whom it was stolen, from whom Metaltin was stolen, were Miyash. And therefore, even if we didn't hear him explicitly be Miyash, the assumption is that he was Miyash. Says the Gemara, the Sefer Nami, asked the Gemara, even in this case, let's understand this. Ne'ed Miyash Megufei. Yes, the halacha is that if the Gazlin stole this Metatlin, and so Shimon, Reuven the Gazlin, stole this property and sold it to Levi, so we have Yiyush, and so we have the Yiyush of Shimon, and the Shinu Rishus, and therefore Shimon doesn't have recourse after Levi. Medamei Miyash, what that means is that he doesn't have recourse to get the actual object back. But what he does has, that Reuven will have to pay the value of what was stolen. Shimon doesn't lose that right. So what he wants, therefore, says the Gemara, is that the object that was stolen should remain with Levi and not by Yehuda, because if it's going to go Yehuda, he won't be able to go after Reuven, because he's going to say, what Reuven will say to him, you have no claim on this object that you want me to reimburse you for having stolen from you. It was never your object. It was Yehuda's object. So if Yehuda says, I stole it from him, so you then I will have it in Torah. But once you are able to prove that it's yours, so yes, you're not going to be able to get back the object from Levi, because Levi now owns it through Yiyush and Shini Rishus, but you're going to be able to come after me for having stolen it from you, because it's yours. I don't want you to be, so you're in the Negei B'Dover. Answers the Gemara, like Tricha, we're going to have to explain that the Braisa is speaking about the Miss Goslin. The person who stole it is dead. And since he's dead, so you can't go he can't go after him. The obvious question is, he'll be able to go after Reuven's Yarshim, says the Gemara, the Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph on the base. Hagoizel Umachlis Bonov. If somebody stole something and gave it to his own children, V'neich Lefneim, or somebody stole and left over stolen objects for Yerusha, the halacha is Peturim and Shalem. The halacha is they won't have to pay, because they're not responsible to pay for something that their father paid. And as we learned in Masechet Baba Kama, and the Rashbam points this out, the chiddush in that Mishnah is that Hagoizel Machlis Bonov, that they actually ate this food that was stolen. So if they ate the food that was stolen, they had Hanah. from that food. So we would think that in that case, the person from whom it was stolen should have recourse after the Yorshim, because he could say, you actually ate it, and you benefited from something that belonged to mine. And on the other hand, v'niach lefneim the chiddush is that even though the stolen object is by them, and since the stolen object is by them, so he should say, you should have to return that stolen object to me, still the chiddush is that that the Yorshim don't have that responsibility. The Yad Ramah says a very important halacha here. Throughout Shas, the halacha is that if somebody steals something, somebody owes money, the halacha is there's a difference when there's a chrayis, if you could go after karka, or you could only go, if you only could go after karka, even metatlin. And the Gemara says in many places that somebody could only, who has a chrayis, that has recourse, could only go after real estate, not after metatlin. But the Goinim, the Torah, in Choshe Mishpat, Simon Lamed Zayin says, instituted a rule that b'zman hazeh, we could go after metatlin. Says the Torah, included in that takonis ha-goinim is included that you could also, even if somebody stole something and now that person who stole it is no longer alive and we're going after the Yarshim, says the Torah, the halach is that even though we just quoted the Mishnah Masechta Bava Kamma that you can't go after the Yarshim, that was before the takonis of goinim. Once we have the takon of the goinim, we could go after the Yarshim. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, we're saying that the Braisa is speaking about a case where somebody stole the property and sold it to somebody else. And we said that the reason that Rav Sheshis had to explain the Braisa that way is because of the Sefer, where the Sefer says that that isn't the case by Parah or Talis. Ask the Gemara, but according to the way we're learning now, why don't we say, V'lukma b'yayrish, why don't we say that the case of the Braisa is referring with Yairish? What happened was, why don't we say that the Gazlan never sold the property, but he died and he left over the property for his children. In other words, Reuven stole a property from Shimon. And now Reuven died, and he left over the property to his son, Levi. Yehuda comes and says that this property belongs to me. The halach will be that Shimon cannot say testimony on behalf of Levi against Yehuda, because he's a negei bedavar. He wants the property to remain with Levi, because he'll be able to prove that Levi's father, Shimon, Reuven, had stolen the property from him, and he'll be able to get back that property. Because even though we just said that the Yarshim are not responsible, yes, Yarshim are not responsible. That's by Metatlin that become theirs. But since there's a halacha, that karka ain't an exelis, so it doesn't become the Yarish's. And therefore, the Nigzal, Shimon, hopes to get it back from Levi, the Gazlan being Reuven's son. But if Yehuda's going to get this property from Levi, Shimon will not be able to win in the Torah against Yehuda. Going back to something we said a few moments ago, because Yehuda has Edim that this property belongs to him, Shimon has Edim that this property belongs to him. And as we said, when we have this situation, we status quo it and we'll leave it with Yehuda. But the Sefer will be speaking about a case where Reuven stole a talus or a para from Shimon. Reuven died. Now Levi, Reuven's son, yashins it. Now the Bryce is saying that Shimon can testify on behalf of Levi versus Yehuda, because he can't get it back from Levi, Reuven's son, because he's a Yairish, answers the Gemara. So, Hanich Leman D'Amar, says the Gemara, there's a Machloikis in Shas. So, Hanich Leman D'Amar, Rishus Yairish, Laf Rishus D'Aykech D'Ami, that we don't treat a Yairish like we treat a buyer. And therefore, as we said earlier, that if somebody would have bought it from Reuven the Gazlan, so since this Yish and Shini Rishus, it remains with him. But if somebody yarshins it from Reuven the Gazlan, it's not the same. So we understand what we have to say, that the Levi of the Brisa is somebody who bought it, but is not a Yairish. Eleman Dom Rishus Yairish. Kurishus Gazlan. Kurishus Lekech Dami Michael Meimer. Why do we have to speak about that it was sold? We could speak about that it was Yarshin. And says the Gemara, V'oid Kashalel Abaya. Abaya had a question on Rav Sheshes that he said that we're speaking about that the Gazlan sold it, Reuven the Gazlan sold it to Levi. So asks Abaya, what is the wording of the Braisa? We began the shiur today with this Braisa, where the Braisa said, Ein made a law aleha. He can't, the Nigzal, Shimon from whom it was stolen, can't be the person to say testimony. Nei Shachriyosolov, and the next case where it was sold, where it was a talus or a para, Enachriyosolov, says the Mara, that isn't the driving factor. Nei Shachriyosolov, Enachriyosolov, that isn't the driving factor. The driving factor, as we've been explaining, is the main factor is, will he be able ever to retrieve back this property? By property, he will be able to retrieve it. And by metatlin, he won't be able to retrieve it. Says the Gemara, because of these questions, says the Gemara, the Kedravim Bar Shmuel, we have to explain that the Braisa is coming to teach us what Ravin Bar Shmuel taught us. Davin Ravin Bar Shmuel, Mishmei de Shmuel. If somebody sells a property to somebody else and the seller did not take on a chrayis, that if this property will be taken away from the buyer, that he'll have recourse back to him, ain't made lalel. The seller cannot say edus on behalf of this property, because he has a lot to gain here. Because if I sold a property to somebody, and now I sold it shloi b'achrayis, that means if somebody I owe money to will come to me and I don't have the ability to pay him, he'll go after this property. So I want that property should be left with the person to whom I sold it, so that they should be able to get, the people I owe money to should have where to collect that property. So therefore the Braisa says, Machlei bais, machlei sada. If a loiva had a property that was mortgaged to somebody to whom he owes money, and he sells it to somebody, and now somebody comes and claims that this property is his, the meicher, the seller, could not say testimony. The person who sold property to, he wants it to remain there, so his bal chayv should be able to collect it. Continues the Braisa, V'dafka bayis asada. This halach is only when you sold a home property. Ava para talis. But if you sold a part of a talis, the halach is that he can't say testimony. M'nei she'en achriyos alav. That means the person to whom I owe money cannot go after metatlin. Cannot go after metatlin that I owe. And there's a very important element to this Gemara, which the Rashbam and the other Rishonim say. I don't want to owe people money, so I'm happy that it should remain with the seller, because with the buyer, so that the person who I owe money to should have a place with to collect my debt to him, and I'm satisfied with them, that because I don't want to be Aloy v'rosha v'lo yishalim. I don't want to be a person that doesn't pay back people I owe. So asks the Marie, the Rebbe Chanan, quotes the Rimigash. So because of that, Chazal are concerned I'm going to lie. What's the whole basis of my testimony? Because I don't want to be a bad person. I don't want to be a person that owes money that doesn't pay back. But I'm not worried about lying. If I'm a good person and I want to pay my debts, I'm also a good person that doesn't want to lie. Says Rabbi Chanan that the case here, he complicates it somewhat, is that I don't have Edom. Because I don't have Edom, I can't say testimony, and that's why I'm ready, and that's why maybe it doesn't belong to him, and that's why it's different. Says the Gemara, Loi Miboye, so if I sold Metatlin, Loi Miboye B'stama, certainly if I sell Metatlin, certainly under normal circumstances, the Loi M'shtabalei, that the Metatlin are not mortgaged to anybody I owe money, my Tama, why is that? That Metatlin don't become mortgaged? Because Metatlin they knew. They are Metatlin, and the halacha is Metatlin b'chayv lo mishtabli. And the reason is because when you sell, explains the Rashbam, when you sell Metatlin, there's no kol. When I buy real estate and there's a mortgage on the real estate, there's a kol on that to that mortgage. So I am careful not to buy something which is mortgaged. And if I bought it, it's the risk I take. But when I buy Metatlin, if there's a mortgage that I owe people money, people don't know there's a mortgage on the Metatlin. So the buyer of those Metatlin have no way of protecting themselves, and therefore the halach is they don't become, my Baal Choyv can't go after them. But says the Gemara, even if when I took out the loan, when I took out the loan, I wrote in the loan document, Maglima dal kasfe, you could go after even the coat I'm wearing. So then there is a mortgage on that. Says the Marhani Mili, this Nabenayu, that's when I still own those Metatlin. I have a less Nabenayu. If I don't have them, they were sold. Loi, that mortgage doesn't continue for the reason that we just gave, because the person who bought it had no way of knowing that there is that mortgage. And says the Gemara, Ela filo asabapaitiki. Apaitiki means apaite koi, that we designated that this is where you could collect your debt from. And then I sold that apaitiki. The person who I owe money to cannot take it from the person whom I sold it to. My tama why? Says the Gemara the Rava. Damarava, also avde poitiki, if I designate my ever to be that poitiki, and machroi and I sold it, balchayv gaber menu, then my balchayv could go collect it from the person to whom I sold it, to whom I sold the evid. However, shor v'chamara poitiki, if I pointed, I made my shor chamara na poitiki, or machroi and I sold it, and I sell it, then ain balchayv gaber menu, the person, my balchayv cannot collect it. My tama, Hai Islay Kala, an Evid is something that everybody knows that I designated as a Paitiki. And therefore, when you bought it, you should have realized that you're taking a risk. But when you make different Metatlin for a Paitiki, that is not so well known. And therefore, since it's not so well known, the person who buys it has no way of knowing that, and therefore he will not be held. We cannot make him pay lose it. So the Ritva explains that an evid is something that which is very specific. Every evid is very different. Every person is very different, and therefore an evid is more likely to have a kol versus a talus is a talus and a para is an para. So even if I made it an apoyteki, people won't be aware of it. Ask the Gemara, v'leichish, but ask the Gemara, I'm going to show you a circumstance where there could be a shibud even on matatlin. Where? Says the Gemara. We learned throughout Shas about Kinyan Agav, that we've learned that ways to do Kinyan on Karka, and the ways to do Kinyan on Metaltlin. The Kinyanim on Karka don't work for Metaltlin. But if you did a Kinyan on Karka, an Agav, you said the Metaltlin should be sold as well, then it'll work. Dama Rava, Iakta Metaltlin Makarka, if you make a Kinyan on Karka, and you say Agav, that Kinyan, it should be on the Metaltlin, the Aloch is Kanim Makarka, and Kanim Metaltlin. That will be an effective Kinyan for Metaltlin, even if it's in a way that Kinyanim, that this is not normally a way that will work on Karka. Vamrav Chizda, who the Kasulei, it only will work that if you make a Kinyan on Metaltlin Agav Karka, if you said that I'm making this a Shibud Gomer, a full-fledged obligation, that's not an Asmachta, we have an Asmachta where somebody says, as we learned, the typical example is where you write a penalty clause that I'm building a home for you, and if I won't have it ready at a certain time, then I will have to pay you a penalty. That it's an asmachta because I only obligated myself because it was certain it would never happen. Or the loikotovs of the story, and I write that this is not something that's written just because that's the standard boilerplate language. And as the Rashbam explains, the reason you have to write the loika smachta, because this is very similar to a smachta. I put this up as a mortgage because I was sure that I'll never have to pay it. So you have to write the loika smachta. So ask the Gemara, here we have a case where there's a shibud on matatlin. If there's shibud on matatlin, and now I have those matatlin that I sold to somebody, I should not be allowed to say testimony that they belong to the person to whom I sold it, because I have a vested interest that it should be there if somebody has a claim against, somebody's claiming against that, so that my Bali Chayv should be able to collect it. Says the Gemara, we're going to have to explain the Braisa, as soon as I sold it, as soon as I bought this cow and bought this talus, I sold it, and therefore there was never a time that it became mortgaged to any Baal Chayv. Ask the Gemara v'lechish, d'madeknihu. Maybe I made, when I borrowed money, I said that anything that I will ever buy will become mortgaged to this Chayv. So even though there was no loan that took place between, as the Gemara just said, between the time I bought it and sold it, there's a prior mortgage from before I bought it. Shma mino, says the Gemara, from here we should see that if I wrote the itni kana umachar, kana vahirish, that if I wrote as a mortgage to the person who I owed money to, that anything I will buy will become mortgaged, says the Gemara, that we'll see from here, the loy mishtabdi, that that's not a way that it becomes mortgaged. The question is, how could we ever suggest that it'll work? It's a davar shloba lailam. When I obligated myself, I didn't own it. So the Rishonim explain that, of course, throughout Shas, we have the concept of a davar shloba lailam. But over here, it might be different. And they explain the reason why over here it might be different is because we also have often in Shas that there's a concept of Shleitin al Delos B'fnei Lovin. We want to be able to encourage that people should be able to borrow money. So even though normally I can't do transactions on something I don't own, here maybe I should be able to allow to do transaction in order to encourage people to lend money. Says the Gemara, like Tzricha, we're going to explain the price, the Kama Edom. We have the person who from whom the property, this object was stolen, says the Kamri Edom, he has Edom that could say, Yadinim be behaidolai havalai arama oilam. We could say testimony, this person never had any property. And therefore, if he never had property, there can't be a Kinyan Agav on the Parah on the Talis. Says the Gemara, V'amar papa afgav damar abonin. Hamaycha sadol chaver shloi bechrayis. If I sell my property to you shloi bechrayis, and then bo balchoy v'tarfa, and my balchoy claim came and take it away from you, you have no recourse to me. Ain a chayzer love. But what happened? It wasn't where my balchoyv came and took it away from you. Rather, the din Torah was that it was never mine. So even though I sold it to you, shloi b'achrayis, the halach is the person who bought it from me does have recourse to me. Only in a case where my balchoyv takes it away from him, because that was the risk you took when you bought property that was mortgaged, that property may be taken away. And since you bought it, shloi b'achrayis, you won't have recourse. But you never bought it with the risk that what I'm selling you was not mine. Says the Gemara, Hachemai Skinen, B'makabai Shibas Chamarei. With the person who bought it knows that it was the child of an animal that belonged to the seller, and he recognized that this belongs to the seller, this animal, this talus. And even if afterwards somebody will make a claim that it wasn't his, that it wasn't mine, since he knows, and he says, I know, that this belonged to the seller, so this is a situation of Haidos Baldin Kamei Edim. He's saying, I know it belongs to the person who sold it to me. I know, and therefore, even if afterwards somebody is able to prove that it didn't belong to me, it wouldn't make a difference because he knows it did belong to me. He bought it on that basis. Says the Gemara Zvid Amar. The Zvid argues on the entire halacha. And Zvid says, I feel nimtza she'ena shaloi. Even if I know it's not mine, ain't chayzer alav. You can't go after it. Once I sell you a property, shloi b'chrayis, it doesn't only cover, says Rav Zvid, that you can't go at that if my Baal Chayv takes it from you, you have no recourse to me. But even in a case where it will be said that it belongs, even in a case where it will be taken away from you, the buyer, because it was never mine, you, by buying it shloi b'chrayis, you have no recourse to me. So the Gemara said that how come one of the examples where there's no mortgage on the parah and the talis? Because the lehavale arama olam. So Taisa says that from here we see that it's possible that a person should not own real estate. And we don't say that everybody owns at least dalat amis in Eretz Yisrael, because it could possibly be that the people that don't have property in Eretz Yisrael, that don't own any property. That's what Taisa says. So the Shalz Tshuvas, Machs Avram, Orechaim Simon Kufman Beis asks that how could we ever buy Dalad Minim? We should be concerned that maybe those Dalad Minim I bought from somebody who I know owns the field on which they grow, but maybe that property once belonged to somebody else and it was stolen by somebody else. Let's say it was stolen by Akum and then they sold it to him. And Taisa says that maybe everybody owns property in Eretz Yisrael and this property was stolen from me, according to the opinion that everybody owns property in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe this property once belonged to somebody else and now it's by this person through Geneva. So the Machs Avram says that we see that not everybody agrees with that concern. We just said that Taisa says that not necessarily does everybody have property in Eretz Yisrael. And moreover, to be concerned that happened when we have no clear evidence that happened is something that we need to be concerned about. And if I know that the person who I bought the Dalad Minim from today owns that property, I don't have to be worried that it got to him illegally, and there's no problem in using those Dalad Minim.